The Lord shall deliver thee. Is that good news? Let me say it again. The Lord shall deliver thee. Is that good news? No matter what, he promised to deliver. And there's nothing too hard for him. We want to talk to you about the righteous cry, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. Most of us read that and pretend to believe it, but we don't. We need to believe that. I need to believe that. Even now, after all these years, I have a problem. My first response is to panic. Yay. And that is not what this says. It says the righteous cry. You may have a problem and you cry out to God, but then we need to expect God to answer us. And the Lord hears and delivers. The Lord hears and ignores. Sometimes it appears to be that's the way it is. But that is not what this says. The Lord, the righteous cry. So, well, I'm not righteous. Well, then confess your sins and you're there. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. That was the last verse from last Sunday. Psalm 34, verse 17. We'll pick up there. So this is a little review. Salvation or deliverance is from the Lord. We need to get that in our mind. We all think that we have a good plan and we're going to get ourselves out. But we need to always go to the Lord first. Because his plan will work. Psalm 91, verse 3. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. Surely he shall deliver thee from the trap of the fowler, the trap of the hunter. It is the same concept as of a hunter hunting for birds. Set traps, and you have this box or net type thing that looks like a box. It's up on little sticks. We used to set them on the farm. A bird goes in there and accidentally trips one of those little sticks. The cage falls down, and they're trapped. Satan has traps like that for you and me. That pretty lady at work could get you fired, get you shot, and get you divorced. The devil sets traps. Surely he shall deliver thee from the trap of the devil and from the noisome pestilence. That's a good old King James, and so most of us don't even know what that means. It means coronavirus. It means pandemic. It means COVID-19 or whatever it was. You see, the Lord will deliver us from the trap of the hunter and from every plague, but we have to cry out to him and call on him. You see, we can be delivered from every strategy of the enemy, but we have to spend some time in prayer, get serious with God. Psalm 91, verse 14, read this one last week also, because he has set his love upon me. Have you set your love on Jesus Christ or everything else? Because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me. Say, call upon me. He shall call upon me, and I will. Well, I'm praying, and God never answers me. Well, somebody's not telling the truth. Yay. You need to pray until you hear his voice. Now, that might be the problem. You give up too quick. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I'll be with him in trouble. I'll deliver him and honor him. Every one of us needs to be sure we got that memorized when we leave here today. Amen. He shall deliver me. Amen. He shall call upon me, and I will deliver him. I'll be with him in trouble. I will deliver him. He will deliver me and honor me. You see, this is a promise. He will call, and I will answer. Flat out, answer. Promise. It's a promise. It is very important that we call upon him and believe he will answer. I believe if I get in prayer and stay there, I'm going to get an answer. Jesus said himself with his own mouth, ask and keep on asking, seek and keep on seeking, and everyone asking keeps on asking receives. I don't believe the man that came and died for me would lie to me. Now, the answer may not always be what I want, but he's going to answer me. He might say no. And he said no to me a few times, and every time it was in my best interest. No was in my favor. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. And Psalm 37, verse 39, this is a new one. But the salvation or the deliverance or the rescue of the righteous is from the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. Read that with me. He is their... Is it on the screen? Okay, then how many can read? Okay, let's read. He is their strength in the time of trouble. Their strength in the time of trouble. I just can't handle this. It's beyond my ability to handle. That's okay. He can handle it for you. The Lord is the strength of my life. I quote that a lot. Every day. Probably every day more than once. Verse 40, and the Lord shall help them that shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked. You got somebody at work trying to get you fired? It's okay. God knows where they live. He's got their address. And he can take care of it. How do I know that? Because he's taking care of a lot of enemies for me. And save or rescue, the word really can mean save, can basically means deliver, rescue, whatever. You say, well, I'm saved, I'm born again. You know what that means? It means you've been delivered from sin and rebellion. You've been delivered from the old slave master. It means to be delivered, saved. He will deliver thee from the wicked and save or rescue them because they trust in him. That's kind of important right there. Matter of fact, I say that's the key. You have to trust in him. When nothing seems to be working, you just keep on trucking. Yes. Amen. Nothing is working. Keep on trucking. I need to put that in some kind of slogan or something. I can come up with some brilliant things accidentally. Yay. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save or rescue them because they trust in him. So our faith and trust must be in Jesus Christ. And in him alone. You see, the salvation, deliverance, or rescue of the righteous is of the Lord. He's been rescuing me all my life. He's rescued me from crazy bulls on the farm. A couple of crazy turkeys, you know. A couple of crazy dogs. And a few crazy people. No matter what our bondage our stronghold, our trouble is, he will save us, rescue us, and deliver us if we will ask and believe. Notice it says, he saves the righteous because they trust in him. What was that song about leaving everything at the altar? That means casting everything on him. That means trusting in him and leaving your problems with him. Is that not what that means? Now, normally I don't tell anybody what I'm going to preach on, but have you ever noticed how the praise and worship lines up with what I'm preaching? Okay. Wonder who's doing that since I don't tell them what I'm preaching on. You see, in a day of school shootings, we need to believe this, and before our kids go out the door, we need to pray down the power of God all over them, and it will work. God will rescue them. A mother of a high school student in Paducah, Kentucky in 1997. That's a long time ago. Let me know the power of God is still the same today, yesterday, and forever. So, a mother of a high school student way back there in Paducah, Kentucky, was at a women's prayer meeting. And they all felt a need to pray, especially for her son, like he was under some kind of a threat. When you have a caution or a little warning inside of you like that, don't you ignore it. You stop whatever you're doing and get by yourself if you can, or in that case, get with the other women, and pray down the power of God until you know you got the victory. So they prayed, and God heard and answered their prayers. There was a school shooting in their school. Like the very next day, three kids were killed and six wounded. This made the news all over the country. And Bob Rogers, you know, is in Louisville, Kentucky, and he came here and preached. And he said he talked to that mother that prayed for her son with those other ladies. And she told him what I'm about to tell you. The Holy Spirit came upon her son, and he talked the shooter into giving him the gun and took it out of his hand. Didn't get shot, didn't get hurt, and he saved a lot of lives because God rescues. God delivers from evil people. And I Googled it, looked it up, and sure enough, the article says all this, except it says he laid the gun down. And you know, a reporter's going to do everything he can, in most cases, to take Jesus out of it. Okay. If that's the case, it was laid down. It was because the boy talked him out of shooting anybody else and took the gun and caused him to let down. But the young man, because of his mother and those ladies praying over him, protected him, spared his life, no matter how you see it, and used him to save a lot of other kids. And the young man that did the shooting, he said, "I don't even know when I did it." He said, "Just something came over me. But I know one thing." He was 14 years old when that happened, and he's still in prison today. And so I called Bob Rogers last night to see if I remembered it right. And he said, "Absolutely, that's 100% right." Said he walked over and took that gun right out of that boy's hand. I mean, Paducah's not far from Kentucky. I mean, from Louisville. It's all in Kentucky. Can you say amen? It's a state of beautiful horses and fast women. And one of them in Louisville caught me, and her name is Dottie, and she's back there taking care of your kids. Thank you, Jesus. I wasn't running very fast, though. Isn't that a good story? I'd forgotten about it until I was preparing this message. And God says, "I want you to tell that." So I don't even remember all of it. So I Googled it and looked it up, and then I called Bob to confirm it. Listen, God can do the same thing for you and your kids if you'll believe this and pray. I don't have time to pray. I'm going to tell you, you better make time, because you don't want to have take time to go to a funeral. In Psalm 33, verse 16, the king is not saved by a mighty army. I mean, we got the greatest army in the world, but we're not saved by that army. God watches over us. If you go down through history, we got all kind of miracles, how God has protected this nation, protected our soldiers. Some of them did things that's totally impossible because God anointed them, enabled them to do it. Listen to this. The king is not saved by a mighty army. A warrior is not delivered by great strength or great ability. A horse is a false hope for victory, nor does it deliver anyone by his great strength. God may use the horse, but it's God. Can you say amen? Amen. Your 9mm is not going to save you. You got a 9mm, but your enemy has a bazooka. Or a hand grenade. Or a machine gun. You have to trust the Lord to take care of you with or without a gun. Can you say praise the Lord? We do live in very dangerous days. People are shot, murdered, raped all over the place. But we walk in confidence because we know our God delivers and he rescues us from demonized people. Amen. You better start believing. If you don't, your life may... God didn't send me here to preach this just to take up time. He knows what's going to happen in our lives, and we need to get on this and believe God. Verse 18, behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him. God's watching over me. You mess with me, you're going to get slapped. Thine enemies that rise up against thee shall be smitten before thy face. That means slapped. Can you say amen? Do you really believe that? I don't even believe it. I've seen it happen many times. You don't want to mess with a man of God. How many men of God do we have here? When I say man of God, I'm not talking about preacher. I'm talking about men who serve God, who obey God. Women who serve God, obey God. And if you don't know it yet, man means male and female. We've got a lot of confused people coming out of these universities that when you say man, they think it automatically means masculine. Man means both. The Bible says plainly in Genesis that God created man, male and female created he them. A woman is man too. Just a female version. And you know what happened there. God made man, took a good look at him and said, I can do better than that. And all the men said, amen. Verse 19, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Wow. Deliver them from death and keep them alive when nobody else can find anything to eat. The Lord is watching over his own to deliver them and to keep them alive. You see, our faith and trust must be totally in the Lord Jesus Christ and not in money, not in people, and not in horses or armies or tanks. You see, God can deliver us from despair and from deadly peril. I said he can deliver you and me, rescue us from everything. Look at this. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8. For we do not, this is St. Paul, for we do not want you to be unaware, brethren, of our affliction. See, he wants them to know how God delivered them so they will believe God to deliver them also. When we see God do something great, we need to share it so other people will know it's still possible to have a miracle in modern America. For we do not want you to be unaware, brethren, of our affliction which came on us in Asia, and we were burdened excessively. You may be thinking, man, I don't think I can take this. It's just getting to be too much. Listen to what Paul said. We were burdened excessively beyond our strength. You may be thinking, I can't take any more of this. Well, cast it on Jesus Christ. Leave it at all. Let him help you with it and get his advice and do what he says to do. That's what I do. I never give up. I pray until I get an answer or get a victory in my heart. Something. Ask and keep on asking. Seek and keep on seeking. And we were burdened excessively. Is this speaking to anybody? Beyond our strength, so that we despaired even of life. They said, this is going to kill us. We're not going to make it. Verse 9, indeed, we had the sentence of death. The devil thought he was going to kill us. Remember one time they stoned him to death. He got up and walked away. Well, he wasn't really dead. You think those Jews didn't know how to stone somebody to death? I think they did a good job. He got up and walked away anyway. Why? God wasn't through with him yet. Well, anyway, he still got up and walked away. You stone somebody to get up and walk away? Today we'd call an ambulance. Take them off to the hospital. Indeed, we had the sentence of death within ourselves so that we would not trust in ourselves. It got so bad we could no longer trust in ourselves. Most of my life I hadn't been able to trust in me. I've always had to trust in him. He says, would not trust in ourselves but in God who raises the dead. So he's making reference to that. God can even raise you up from the dead. We must never trust in ourselves. Paul says this was so bad, we did not dare trust in our human ability. What are you trusting in? You need to pray that God will give you ideas and enable you to do what you can do. But your trust cannot be in you because you're going to come to a day when you don't have the strength, the ability, or the courage. Verse 10, who delivered us. Now, God didn't give me this just to be given. This, we need this. And America's a dark place right now. We need to know that we're walking in the covering of the Lord. Verse 10, who delivered us from so great a peril of death and will deliver us. He delivered us. Look at the confidence there. And will deliver us. Say that with me. Will deliver us. Say me. Will deliver me. Will deliver me. He on whom we have set our hope, and he will not, and he will yet deliver us. It still doesn't look perfect, but he will deliver us. You also joining in helping us through your money, through your counsel. Somebody asked me for prayer, I immediately start counseling. I said, we didn't ask for your counseling, we want your prayers. What does it say? And he will yet deliver us, you also joining in helping us through your prayers. Is that on the screen? Don't people act like you don't know what I'm going to say. It's right there. And he will, am I blinding you? And he will yet deliver us. You also joining in helping us through your prayers. Wonder what that's in the Bible for. He wants you to know you need our prayers. I need your prayers. We need each other's prayer. Praying one for another that you may be healed. Well, if they had more faith, they could get healed. Well, if you did what you're supposed to do, pray they might get healed anyway. If we prayed the way we should, God might build their faith. Somebody say amen. Amen. Let's get on it. Well, I don't see why I should pray. Wait, how about obeying God? Is that a good reason to pray? We're commanded to pray. And he says, you helped us through your prayers. You see, we help each other through prayer. Well, I don't know why the pastor calls us. I never heard anybody say this. I'm just making it up. I don't know why the pastor calls us up there for prayer. What good does that do? Well, when we pray for each other, I'm telling you right now, I feel it. And I've been greatly blessed and delivered from the prayers of many of you. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ, except when it's too hard. There's no except there. Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ. But this is just too hard. I don't think I can make it. I don't have the strength. That's what Paul said, but he made it anyway because he trusted in God. When you get to your last ounce of strength, just trust God. Cast it on him. Leave it, whatever you want to call it. Get it rid of it and get it on him. So how did I do that? Well, I prayed I get a peace about it. When I get that peace, I know he's got it. Does that work for you? Anybody? When I get that peace, I know he's taking it over. See, this is my confidence. Now, thanks be unto God, which always causes me to win. And I translate that, I win. I always win. I win because of my faith in Jesus Christ in every word. That means you never have any failures. No, it means in the end, God gives me the victory. Somehow I come out on top. If I get knocked flat, I'm not going to stay laying flat. I'm getting up. Yay. Amen. Acts chapter 12, verse 6. So how can you be so confident? Because I have confidence in my God. That's what. Amen. That's what. Acts chapter 12, verse 6. And like I said, I'm not always this confident. When I get under attack, man, I got to pray through to peace and victory. Acts chapter 12, verse 6. And when Herod was about to bring him out, that night Peter was sleeping, bound with two chains between two soldiers, and the guards before the door were keeping the prison. Verse 7. Now behold, an angel of the Lord stood by him, and a light shone in the prison. And he struck Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, arise quickly. And his chains fell off of his hands. The angel of the Lord broke him out of jail. Can you say amen? Amen. And he can still do that. They got angels can still do that. The Lord will still use his angels. He has angels assigned to you. Amen. Well, I don't know if I believe that. Well, you probably will never have to worry about it. You need to believe it. Amen. Angels are ministering spirits. In first part of Hebrews, angels are ministering spirits to minister to those heirs of salvation. You know the story of how at Shakertown I was praying over my rosacea burning face. And that morning God saw an angel standing over me with her said it looked like a female with her hand right over my face. And she woke me up crying because it really startled her so much. And she stared at the angel for a while and batted her eyes, blinked her eyes. And when she did, the angel was gone. But my rosacea has never come back. And that was 2011. I got an angel watching over me. How many of you got angels watching over you? Come on, tell me. Come on, raise your hand. Do you believe it or not? Come on, let's get with this. Let's have a little action. Get involved. I know they're real. I married one. Yeah. Nobody can live with me let's say at least part angel. Can you say amen? But she saw a real angel. So, well, that's weird. Well, I didn't see anything. Don't blame me. She's the one that saw it. But I can tell you, I ain't had no more recession. Amen. Have you seen me, my face all bloomed up with all pretty colors? Bright red. Have you seen that? You haven't, because it hadn't happened since that time. Well, I explained it. I don't need to explain it. I'm just healed. People always explain something. I don't have to explain it. I just enjoy it. Being healed. Listen to this. Daniel chapter 6. Do y'all really believe he can deliver you from everything, anything, anywhere, anytime? Look, Daniel chapter 6, verse 25. And we may need this, the way the government's going, the way the world's going. Daniel chapter 6, verse 25. Then King Darius wrote to all peoples. He had a great empire, many different kinds of people, many different languages. He wrote to all of them. Verse 28. I make a decree that in every kingdom, every dominion of my kingdom, men must tremble and fear before the... Do you think he just meant men, or did he mean men and women? He meant men and women. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men and women must tremble and fear before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God. Verse 27, he delivers and rescues, and he works signs and wonders in heaven and on earth, who has delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. Verse 28, so this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. You see, this is the testimony of the king. He delivers and rescues. That is a demonic king. Okay? He's probably a murderer, probably killed all kind of people, but he saw this miracle. He is the one, he got tricked into a law that caused Daniel to be thrown into prison, thrown into the lion's den because he was praying. We don't pray because we got a favorite TV show. We don't pray because we don't have time, because we watch too much TV. Okay. We do not pray for all kind of crazy reasons. But none of us has ever had this as an excuse. I'm not going to pray because I'm going to get thrown into the lion's den. So Daniel opened his window where everybody could see him and prayed, and they got him, threw him in the lion's den. And King Darius went over to the lion's den, said, Daniel, the next morning, is God able to deliver? And Daniel said, yeah, I'm okay. Do you think he said it like that? Nope. Yeah, I'm okay. And Darius said, I make a decree in every part of my kingdom, men must tremble before the God of Daniel, because he delivers and rescues, and he works signs and wonders. He said, I saw it myself. Amen. Now, if he can deliver in a situation like that, he can deliver you. Because Daniel, look at this, because Daniel prayed, he was thrown in the lion's den, and then he prospered. He prayed. He did not miss the lion's den. He wound up in the lion's den. Well, I prayed, and here I am in the lion's den. That's okay. That's okay. He can deliver you from the lions. When Darius showed up that next morning, Daniel was using those lions as a pillow. Yeah. They didn't bother him. But when the king threw his enemies in there, they killed every one of them. Amen. You see, Daniel prayed, was thrown to the lion's den, and then it says he prospered. Let me read it. So this Daniel prospered. After he got out of the lion's den, this Daniel prospered. Then the ultimate deliverance is our rescue from the domain of darkness. This one gives you the right to be healed, delivered, take authority over demons and devils, walk in victory as a born-again believer. You got to get this one right. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. Lord, help me get it done. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that hath the power of the devil, that the power of death, that is the devil, verse 15, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. What does it say? To deliver them. You say he came to deliver us from fear, doubt, unbelief. He came to deliver us from everything the devil has. He came to deliver us from sin, sickness, disease, failure, poverty, inferiority. We have been delivered. It's already a done deal, but we do not receive it because it says, for by grace are you saved through faith. We do not have the faith in many cases because we flat do not believe he is a deliverer that has already delivered us from everything the devil has by shedding his blood on that cross, dying in our place. Let me read it again. Some of you weren't listening. Is it on the screen? Hebrews 2:14. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also likewise himself took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death. Now how does that work? He was born of a woman, the son of the eternal God. He had been the son of God as long as God had been God, but he was a spirit. He was born of a woman, took on human flesh, so that he'd be a righteous man. He took my sins in his body, your sins in his body, and died in our place. And when that sin debt was paid, we were freed from everything the devil has, just like that. If not, we're not going to go to heaven. We're delivered from the old slave master. Jesus has delivered us from the old slave master and his bondages by blotting out our sins. We act like we don't even appreciate it. We really don't understand it, I think. Some of the things that's preached and taught, people just don't get it. He destroyed the devil's power over us by blotting out our sins. Look at all the miracles you have around here. It's partly because of what we believe. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, For by grace are you saved through faith. There's people who say, well, he came and he died and his grace covers everybody's sins everywhere. They've even been teaching that stuff in Knoxville. That's a lie. If you believe that, you go to hell. Because it's a condition. For by grace, yes, it's true, he has provided salvation for everyone and deliverance for everyone. For by grace are you saved through faith. Faith is our part. For God so loved the world that whosoever believeth on him. What does it mean, believe on him? You believe him for everything, for life and health and deliverance and restoration and deliverance from demons and devils and demonized people. I walk through this world grinning because I know God's got it. Amen. Can you say amen? Amen? And when I panic, I get in my prayer closet and get that peace back and go marching around grinning again. Okay. Y'all paying attention yet? Amen. Better hurry up, I'm out of time. Start paying attention. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. You cannot save yourself. You can't deliver yourself. You can't do anything but trust God if you want to be delivered. Grace is God's part. Faith is our part. Trusting him, believing him. Jesus Christ has provided deliverance from Satan's slavery, but we receive it only one way, by faith. No one is going to heaven except those who put their faith in Jesus Christ. The greatest deliverance is deliverance from sin's bondage. And a lot of times we think, well, they didn't make it. Well, they may have put their faith in Jesus Christ at the last minute. It still works that way too. Just put your faith in him. Colossians chapter 2, verse 14, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. It says he blotted out my sins. First of all, he nailed them to the cross, and then by his blood blotted them out. He says, well, where did that come from? The Roman soldiers, when they crucified somebody, they put a plaque there of the sins and all the laws and all the laws they could have broken and nailed them right to the cross. And this says Jesus Christ blotted them out. He nailed them to the cross and blotted them out. My sins are gone. The devil reminds me of them every day, but they're gone. That's why you can't let condemnation come on you. Verse 15, and having spoiled or disarmed, how's he disarmed them? When your sins are gone, he no longer has a legal right to touch you. Get that in your spirit. And that's why you see me up here saying, get devil, you get out of here. And you see him leave. You see my voice clear up. Why? Because I'm delivered. And boy, I don't live it perfectly. I'm kind of up and down. Okay. But boy, when I'm on it, can you say amen? Amen. And having spoiled or disarmed principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphant over them in the cross. You see, he nailed our sins to his cross and blotted them out with his blood. You either believe that or you don't. Amen. And if you don't, you got a problem. Satan is defeated to me, and I have been given authority over him. I now can put him on my feet and walk on him. I give you authority to tread or to walk upon demons and devils and over all the power of the enemy. Nothing shall by any means hurt you. They might hurt a little bit, but not destroy you. Calvary has everything covered, but I receive it by faith. I must build my faith in you too. You say, well, I just don't have much faith. Well, you get the word of God and pray, you get some faith. That's the way I do. And a lot of times I'm faced with a challenge. I don't have the faith at that moment, but I go pray until I get it. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. Does this make any sense to anybody? That clock. I hate that clock. For he rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us. This is true or not. Either it's true or it's not. For he rescued Barry Cumberson from the domain of darkness and transferred him to the kingdom of his beloved son. I'm no longer of this crazy world. I sometimes act a little bit like it, but I'm really not. Verse 14, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. You see, the greatest rescue that we will ever experience is rescue from the old slave master through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Rescued from the kingdom of Satan and transferred to the kingdom of God. Psalm 107 verse 14, he brought them forth out of darkness and the shadow of death and broke their bands apart. You see, he delivered us from Satan's slavery and broke the things that had us bound and filled us with his mighty Holy Spirit. And now we're a danger to Satan and his kingdom, and he's afraid of us. Submit to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee. I give you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. You see, we now have power to tread upon demons and devils and over all the power of Satan. Deliverance really is from the Lord. Let's stand.